Richard Hay! I am a god. Thank you. Hello and welcome back to That Was Then, This Is Now, or as all the cool skater boys who listen to Radio 2 call it, Twitutin'. It's the comedy show that takes a look at all the amazing, world-changing, inspirational events that happened this week in history and then mocks them in a childish, disrespectful and ultimately ignorant way. I'm ashamed of myself, I really am. But I'm only following orders. And it's an historic moment for me, Richard Herring, as this is series 3 of Twitutin'. And never before in my 20-year comedy career have I had a third series of anything. Yet, ironically, this is the thing that I've worked least hard on out of everything I have done. There's a lesson there for you, Robert the Bruce. Never try. That is... And plus, don't go around copying spiders. It's weird. Unless you're prepared to invest in a skin-tight red costume, get some web shooter things on your hands, and can sling a web of any size, catching thieves just like flies. Try and try again. That is not a catchphrase, Robert or Bruce or whatever your name is. Spider-Man's catchphrase was, "With great power comes great responsibility." Though you can understand why a Scotchman would never have come up with something like that. How would he know? All he knows is about trying and failing, then succeeding for a bit, before a bigger army arrives and he fails again. Freedom! 3 minutes in, I've already attempted to start a new Anglo-Scotch war and alienated all the listeners north of the border, not least by insisting on calling them Scotch. They love that. It's going to be a great series. I can see it already. Because however rubbish and needlessly offensive I am, we still have the prodigious musical talents of our house band, Christian Riley and Schleswig Holstein.
That was then, this is now. Proud people of Scotland. Everyone else in England thinks you're great. Any quarrel you have is with Richard Herring. Concentrate your attacks on him alone. In fact, we'll probably give you a hand.
If anything, that song was more offensive to Scotland than I was. Anyway, what have you been up to this year, Christ? Haven't seen you since the last show, been a while. I think the phone number you gave me must have been wrong, because I didn't...
Well, what have you got?
It's 7. That's the number you gave me, 7.
No, that's not right. It's 8. My number's 8.
Oh, I must have copied it down wrong. Cool, I'll give you a ring after the show. Yeah. So what's been going on?
Well, it's been a really busy year. My wife and I, we've just had a baby.
No way. No. The Christmeister a dad. You know, I thought when you said you were married, well, he can get divorced. There's still a chance. But now you've got a kid. Oh, God, that is a blow. For your legion of fans, for the female... fans.
Stop touching me.
I can't believe you're a dad already. You're only about 23.
I'm 35.
Whatever. I'm 40 and I haven't got any kids. I guess it's not too late, you know. I could still have some. That's a good thing about being a man. You can still have kids. Like, maybe it's not so bad being a dad in your 40s. You know, I'll be a bit older, a bit wiser. I'll be old enough to appreciate it. I'll be able to enjoy those precious moments when they're young and cute and giving me unconditional love. And then when they're about 12, I'll probably die. thus missing those unpleasant adolescent years. I mean, it's perfect, really.
That was then, this is now. Presented by a man with a life expectancy of 53.
If I'm lucky. According to the chronology of insane 17th century nutjob Archbishop James Usher, the great deluge that prompted the creation of Noah's Ark began on the 25th of November 2348 BC. You've got to admire that specificity. It's fantastic, isn't it? Still, he lived in the 17th century, so maybe he can be forgiven for believing the world was created in 4004 BC. What I find hard to countenance is that despite the wealth of evidence to the contrary, some people still believe he was right today. And I'm not allowed to call them mental or ignorant for doing so, but have to respect their beliefs and their decision to live their lives based on the idea of one old book being infallibly true, even though it openly contradicts itself all the time and is at odds with all the geographical, archaeological, biological, geological evidence available to us. So I do respect that. Well done, you people. You should feel proud of yourselves. Noah's Ark is literally true. It happened 4,000 years ago, even though a six-year-old child would be able to point out 100 reasons that it makes no sense at all. So let's celebrate the trueness now in the form of a humorous skit.
Hello. Is Noah around?
Oh, I just get him. Noah, it's for you.
Oh, who is it?
It's God.
Hello.
Hello, Noah.
Oh, hello. What can I be doing you for?
Well, basically, I'm fed up with the wickedness of all the people I created to be wicked, so I've decided to destroy them all.
Oh, dear, that seems a bit drastic.
You did such a good job creating everything.
Silence! They are rubbish and they all must perish. Except you. You're all right.
Oh, that is, thanks. That means a lot, that, especially coming from you. We do like you. Yeah.
So, what I'm going to do is send a gigantic flood to cover the whole world and kill everybody else.
Gosh, that seems a very elaborate way to go about things.
I mean, can you just sort of magic all the people you didn't like dead?
Or why not just magic them so they become good?
Yes. Look, don't question me, Noah. I thought it all through. Yeah. Only a flood will guarantee that everyone is killed.
Well, everyone who doesn't have access to a boat.
No, because we're inland, so no one has a boat.
Yeah, but the whole world isn't inland, is it? Though some of it is by the sea, and people there will have boats and survive.
Oh, yeah, I thought about this. I will just magic it so they die.
Can't you do that with everyone?
No, so for you to survive, you'll need to build a really big boat.
Oh, it seems like an awful lot of effort, unnecessary.
What?
Nothing carrying.
Well, I hope you don't mind me asking, but with this big flood idea of yours, I mean, won't the animals die? And they're innocent, aren't they, innocent. Noah?
I thought about this. You're going to need a really big boat, because under the flood system I've implemented, you're going to have to go around and collect two of every species, one male, one female.
Are you sure you don't just want to rethink this flood thing?
Look, shut up, Mrs. Noah. It's a good idea.
A lot of animals are really dangerous, though. Wouldn't they just eat me when I tried to collect them?
I will magic it so they don't.
Can't you just magic it that they're temporarily aquatic or can fly?
Or can't you magic it that the people you don't like just die without all this flooding and boat building? Maybe just go get some lightning and go... That's what I do. But they're all dead. That'd be easy.
I should go off, you know. You're just being lazy.
I'm not lazy, but building this boat and collecting all the animals, it's a logistical nightmare. I mean, most of the world is undiscovered so far. There must be loads of animals I don't even know about.
Yes, there are. There are billions. And I want you to discover them all. Develop the technical expertise to determine a male and a female of each species. Bring them back here to put on the boat you haven't even built yet. And don't cut corners. When you get to the Galapagos Islands, for example, I want you to find all 13 essentially similar but slightly different species of finches that I put there. And get two of each. And this is the best bit. I created them especially to make it appear as if a thing called evolution existed. So I could test my believers' faith. Oh, it's very good.
He is a joker.
So presumably, we'd better collect two of every race of people as well,
yeah,
Noah.
No, don't bother about that. Just you two and your sons, Shem, Ham and Japheth, and their wives, from whom all future humans will be descended.
Oh, with the best will in the world, God, I and all my sons are Jewish, and even if their wives just happen to be Chinese, African and Aborigine, which seems pretty unlikely given the Jewish traditions, we do like to marry within the faith generally. Do you think it's conceivable that they will have people a multicultural, racially diverse world in just, say, 4,000 years?
I will magic it so they do.
Can't you just magic it?
No, I want a flood and we're having a flood. Why are you being so antediluvian about this?
It just seems a bit implausible and unnecessary. Can't you come up with something a bit more likely people could believe? Maybe it's just a localised flood in this town. I managed to get, like, a rowing boat and save a dog. Then maybe anyone over five can believe it actually happened.
You have to believe, Noah. if Father Christmas can get round to all the children in the world in a single night...
He just still believes
then
you
doesn't can know build... about Father Christmas.
He doesn't know about Father Christmas.
Oh, then God. You can build an ark and collect all those animals in an hour.
An hour?
Ooh, didn't I mention that?
You've got to be kidding, you mentalist!
Right, half an hour!
Oh, God!
That's my name, don't wear it out.
It's biblical.
Oh, yeah, take that, God. I wouldn't like to be him once that sketch is broadcast. We got him. Please welcome back the fecund Christian Riley and Schleswig-Holstein.
So the 27th of November 1576 is the birthday of Shimazu Tadatsune, the ruler of the Japanese province of Satsuma. The history books say he was a brave warrior and a canny diplomat, but there's one thing that really used to annoy him.
I'm the ruler of Satsuma and Shimazu Tadatsune is my name. I'm the ruler of Satsuma, it's a very influential domain. Affectionately known as Kagoshima-han, we're the second richest territory of Japan. There's just one thing I hate having to explain. My kingdom's not a tangerine. My kingdom's not a mandarin. It's a powerful province and not a citrus fruit of Chinese origin. Japanese folks, we're not seedless or easy peeling, so stop trying to hurt our feelings. If you try to juice us, do we not bleed? Because we're not a tangerine, we're not a mandarin. Our natural adversary is not a man from Del Monte. I'm the ruler of Satsuma and I'm speaking for our tourist industry. We're many things to many people, but we're not a
Turkey never has this problem.
Christian Riley and Schleswig-Holstein. That was terrific, Christ. You may be a dad, but you still rock.
I rock because I am a dad. I just can't imagine how empty my life would be if I never had a kid. I mean, that would be... It'd be awful.
Yeah. Shut up.
Terrible. Do you want to see a photo of the baby?
Well, not really, but one has to pretend that one wants to at this point.
There he is. That's Charlie.
Oh, yeah, great. He looks like a baby. OK, you're fertile, Christian. Well done. Why not just rub your gametes in my face?
It's no need to be like that.
I'm sorry. If you want to rub your gametes in my face, then... That's fine. I'm just a little broody, I guess, which is quite apt for the next section, because the 26th of November is the 26th birthday of seemingly pretty, but when you look into her eyes, you can see she's clearly mental singer, Natasha Bedingfield. But seemingly pretty, but when you look into their eyes, you can see they're clearly mental, is exactly the kind of woman I usually go for. And it's never done me any harm, apart from all the unhappiness. If there was any doubt that she was clearly mental, then her recent single, I Want to Have Your Babies, must surely have dispelled it. Personally, I'd be quite tempted to let Natasha have my babies, but I don't think I could even countenance having Daniel Bedingfield as a brother-in-law. So, sorry, Natasha, you can't have my babies. I wouldn't wish an uncle like that on anyone. It's not a bad song, though. Let's have a listen.
I want to have your babies, it's serious like crazy. I want to have your babies, I see it's spring.
It's nice, but I have a suggestion, Natasha, of how you could improve it. Babies, you see, it doesn't rhyme with daisies or crazy. And I don't think the phrase, get serious like crazy, means anything. It sounds like you've just said that because it rhymes, and it doesn't actually rhyme. Also, you're the last person who should be alerting a potential partner to craziness. I would just add that. I think the song might be more effective if the line was, get serious like rabies. Because rabies rhymes with babies, and it's something that is really serious. If you were to point out that the feelings you have are as serious as the dangerous disease of hydrophobia, I think your potential partner would sit up and take notice of that. Of course, daisies doesn't rhyme either, so you could change that line to, I see them popping up like scabies. There's something apt about comparing babies to a transmissible ectoparasitic skin infection characterised by superficial burrows, intense pruritus and secondary infection. That could just be a description of a baby. So, that's your birthday present from me, Natash. The song should go... I wanna have your baby, get serious like... Rabies. I wanna have your baby, I see him popping up like scabies. Maybe you should run your lyrics by me before you release anything else from now on. We could look over them whilst having a glass of wine, and if you get me drunk enough, I might forget about your terrifying big-faced brother and see past your own strange chipmunk crossed with a horse face. And allow you to extract my gametes to give you the progeny that you so covet. Give us a call, Natash, if you're listening.
Yeah, but if you want to have babies, then you should have them with me, Richard Keith.
TV's Emma Kennedy? I don't think so. I don't think they've invented a Rehypnol strong enough that I could ever do the dirty with you, and I'd be the one on the Rehypnol.
Well, you're not having children with anyone else. I mean, need I remind you that I am your wife. We got married at the end of the last series.
That wasn't real, Emma. When people get married on TV and radio, it doesn't count. Mm. You know, Kylie and Jason, they're not really married, Emma. It's pretend. Right. No, Monica and Chanda, they're not married. Mm-hmm. Richard and Judy, it's made up.
Yeah. I'm afraid, Richard, that it does. The BBC have been in such trouble for all the lies that they've been telling. The Director General has decided that all marriages made on any of their programmes are now legally binding. So you better get on with your husbandly duties, because I want to start squeezing some babies out of my clacker pretty soon. I'm not getting any younger.
Or any less hideously unattractive. So let's talk about this at home, sweetheart. So The 25th of November 2005, George Best finally passed away. Ironically enough, on Charles Kennedy's 56th birthday. Passing the torch there. Or maybe the flaming Sambuca, I don't know. But some people think it's a shame that a man of Best's talent and stature pissed his life away by drinking himself to death. But not me. I have nothing but admiration for him. Ultimately, most of us will be lying in our hospital beds thinking, I wish I'd had it off with a dozen Miss Worlds and filled up loads of glasses of champagne piled on top of each other with a look of childish glee in my eyes. To be honest, I'd be happy with a small bottle of baby sham and one Miss Weymouth. And if you've ever been to Weymouth, you know how easy it is to win that title and how unattractive that woman is. But... George Best lived the dream. He was a hero. He was a hero. Of course, there's part of me that thinks George Best was an idiot, largely because he was an idiot in many ways. But it's hard to feel sorry for a man who gets to the point where his drinking has got so bad that he needs a new liver, and then he doesn't take that as a sign to stop drinking. There's a clue in the name liver. It's called that because you need it to live, George. Well, there's not much point in telling you now. So we shouldn't feel sorry for George Best. The one I feel sorry for is his new liver.
Whee! This is brilliant! I can't believe it. Me in the body of legend George Best. Hello, everyone. I'm the new liver. Hello! Sorry, just so excited to be here. I've lived the last 30 years in the body of a clean-living, teetotal vegetarian. Boring! Then bam, he gets hit by a bus. You'd think that'd be the end for me, but no. I spin out of there at the last minute like some kind of liver-based Darth Vader and find myself in the greatest partying animal of the 20th century. Let the fun times begin!
Yeah, seriously, mate, will you just shut up? I'm George Best's heart, you know, the original, and I know this must be very exciting for you, but we've been in here for half a century, and seriously, you're not in the mood to make new friends, so just shut up and get on with storing glycogen and decomposing red blood cells, where else is you do, just leave us in peace.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
no way, I'm not shutting up, no way. It's all right for you, you've all been there, done that. You were there when he was shagging all those Miss Worlds and filling up big pyramids of glass of champagne, but I wasn't.
Yeah, it was It was pretty amazing. I'm George Best's left lung, and I have to say we did certainly have a high old time back in the day. But we topped so many supermodels, I could barely get a chance to catch breath. Oh, sweet, but those days are gone, my friend. Even if we wanted to, old Dick down there, he's a shriveled up, worn out little nubbin.
Oh, well, at least I suppose I can see out my days detoxifying blood filled with the finest champagne.
No way. Have any words? George has given up boozing to get you. That's it.
Oh, gutter? That is a shame.
No, only kidding, mate. He's straight back on the piss. No. No more champagne, though. You might get lucky. Get a special brew.
Mm. Oh, it's going to be turpentine and paint stripper. Yeah. You'll love that. You'll be as messed up as us within about a fortnight.
Yeah. All the heartache and hangovers, none of the fun. You muppet.
Oh, come on, guys. At least keep me entertained with stories of the past, the missed worlds.
No way, pal. Because of you, we're going to get another 3 or 4 years of this hell. If you hadn't turned up, this nightmare would be over. We hate you. Never talk to us again.
Hey, fellas, it's a brain here. We just mixing up a cocktail made up of aftershave ethanol and Sparrow and brand cider. Hope you enjoy it.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, help me. No. Oh.
Well, this new series seems to be taking a bit of a darker tone. That was like some kind of medieval morality play. Now, regular listeners will know that Henry VIII is my favourite wife murderer. Now I discover I am actually married. My respect for what he did has at least tripled. He's an amazing man. But this week in history was a big date for my third favourite wife murderer, Dr. Crippen, who was hanged on November the 23rd, 1910.
So who's your second favourite wife murderer?
That would be Lord Lucan, Christ. I know he actually killed his nanny, but he was going for the wife, and it's the thought that counts. Well, all that talk of wife killing has certainly given me food for thought, and now it's time for a brand new section of the show. It's TV's Emma Kennedy's Rubbish Record Breakers.
If you're the weakest, the bleakest, if you're really crap, if you're the crummiest, the fumbliest, a gigantic sap, if you're the most tragic, a magic magnet for mishap, you're a rubbish record breaker.
Find out who has won this week's Rubbish Record Breaker. Please welcome back the voiceover from Series 1 of Celebrity Scissorhands, but not Series 2. TV's Emma Kennedy.
Hello. And I would just like to dedicate this segment of the show to Ross McWhirter, who was tragically murdered by the IRA this week in 1975. We loved you, Ross, for your photographic memory and your unpleasant right-wing views on immigration.
Well, you've certainly broken the world record for the most mawkish woman who has ever lived, Emma, eh? You're the third Mawkwhirter twin. Mawkwhirter.
I am not mawkish.
Yes, you are. What's this week's rubbish record?
Well, this week's rubbish record is currently held by Elaine Esposito. She went into hospital for an appendectomy on August 6, 1941, but fell into a coma on the operating table from which she never woke up, dying on the 25th November 1978, the world's longest coma at 37 years, 111 days.
She's a rubbish record breaker.
Yeah!
Oh.
Yeah! I'm telling you, that is just rubbish!
You can't applaud that. Can we have a little sensitivity? A woman dies.
Well, you can talk, but by an amazing coincidence, Elaine's record is literally on the verge of being broken in the next few minutes.
That is an amazing coincidence.
And the rubbish record is about to be taken by a Brit. It's coming home.
This seems in very poor taste.
And so let's go right over to St. Ian's Hospice in Shrewsbury, where TV's Danny Robbins will take over the story.
Thanks, Emma. It's me, Danny Robbins, from off of BBC Two's The Culture Show, occasionally. I'm here at the bedside of Bridget Hill, who is literally seconds away from snatching a rubbish record from the hands of those warmongering Yanks into the hands of us warmongering Brits. All Bridget's friends and family are here to see her take the coma crown, though obviously she won't physically be able to take it, but there's nothing to stop us putting it on her head. Or indeed doing anything else we want to her, to be honest. No, not that. I'm not sick. And anyway, her dad's here. Hello, Mr. Hill.
Hello, Danny. Hey. It's great to be on the radio. Can I just say hello to everyone at the Four Feathers?
Hey.
You just have. So does quite a party atmosphere here today.
Yeah, well, it's not every day that your daughter gets into the record books.
Still, it's an unhappy tale.
Well, you know, it certainly started that way. Bridget got a serious brain infection when she was just a teenager, and she fell into a coma. Keep it down, Selwyn. Honestly, honestly. And the doctor said she would never recover and told us we should turn off the life support system. But my wife, Brenda...
Hello.
Yes, Brenda here holds no truck with modern medicine and she poo-pooed the scans and other scientific evidence.
I did. I poo-pooed it because a mother knows more about medicine than all the doctors in the world put together.
Yeah. Preferring to trust her gut instinct that Bridget would somehow miraculously snap out of it, Of course, she was talking out of her anus. But it has been in this coma for nearly 4 decades. To begin with, you know, it was sad, but then it became a bit boring, to be honest.
Oh, it was tedious. I mean, she don't do nothing. I mean, not that she did much when she was healthy. You know what teenagers are like.
You know what teenagers are like,
Oh, dear.
Now, after about 20 years, we were all up for just, you know, turn off the machine, you know, freeing up the bed. Someone with a shot at actually getting better. But then someone mentioned the record and we thought...
We could have that.
Aye, and here we are today. Tragedy turns to triumph once again. I am almost glad that Bridget fell into that coma now.
Oh, I am glad. I mean, I think it's the best thing she's ever done.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just being informed in my ear that we are now just 10 seconds away from the record. Let's count down to the momentous moment.
10, 9, 8, 7.
Oh, Selwyn!
What's all that noise? What's going on? Mum? Dad? You're so old.
Oh, gosh, Tig's woken up, silly cow. You can't do anything right, can you?
Pinch the tube!
I am,
love. Pinch the tube!
I'm pinching it.
Oh, dear. Oh.
There, yeah, there. She's still in a coma. 5, 4,
No, sorry, Mr. Hill. Oh. She's woken up. She hasn't broken the record.
No, but she's in a coma now. Surely it still counts. Surely,
no,
come on.
The rules are very strict. The coma must be continuous.
All right. She can still do this. She's a game lass. Reset the clock. See you back here, March 2045. Come on, girl. You can do it.
Well, that's just about the end of this week's show. And, Emma, you know, a few things in today's show have really made me think.
Yeah.
I think it's time we had a family. I think we should start tonight.
Really? Mm. Oh, that's great. I love you, Richard Keith.
Yes. And to celebrate, I think we should drink some of this special wine that I have bought for you.
Oh, there's a skull and crossbones on the bottom.
Yeah, it's really strong. Mm. And it was made by pirates.
Ooh. Got quite an unusual taste. It's a bit metallic with a hint of almonds.
Yeah.
Are you going to have some?
Oh, no. I've decided to become teetotal, that whole George Best sketch. And it really made me think.
Yeah, it would.
So anyway, Best get you back home pretty quickly now so that you can we can make children.
Oh. Look, it's raining pretty hard outside. You don't think God's taking vengeance on you for your Noah sketch?
No, I doubt it. I'll be back next week. We both will. Just read the credits. We can get out of here pretty quickly, though. It takes a few. I mean, we should get going. Hope you enjoyed the show. Bye.
That was Them, This Is Now. It was written and performed by Richard Herring, Dan Tetzel, Danny Robbins and me, TV's Emma Kennedy. I'm feeling a bit weird. The songs and music were all done by Christian Riley and Schleswig Holstein, who were Damien Caldwell, Martin Kane and Charlie Round Turner. Oh, my throat is burning. It was produced by Liz Anstey and was a Celebrol production for BBC Radio 2.
I think I need a lie down.
This is BBC Radio 2, online, on digital, and on 88 to 91 FM.